He becomes a coast. He becomes a cliff thrown down from the laughter of God. He becomes a harbor without names. The whale breathes and the coast is fog. Inside the fog, a theater opens and stages his earlier life. He sees himself rich in camels and supposition. He sees the messenger galloping with burnt news. He sees the house falling on his children, and the silence that followed, the clean white silence that dared to be beautiful. He steps back from the stage and the fog pours itself into the whale's nostril. The theater collapses into a wet smell. Job discovers his teeth. He finds with scientific precision that they are thin as a margin. By the skin of my teeth, he says, and the phrase becomes a bridge over nothing. He walks the bridge and arrives where the hook enters the mouth. There hangs a hallway of metal questions. He places his hand upon them and they ring like glass. He places his head against the iron and hears in it the old poems that thought the sea could be domesticated. The friends on the shore continue their ministry of jars. They have found new reasons and the reasons are brighter. One speaks of algebra, another of brain, another of the moral leverage of consequence. Their words reach the water and float for a moment like petals. Then the boil of the deep takes them, and they become broth for the larger appetite. The friends, not seeing this, believe they have ministered well. They ask for God to endorse their minutes. The voice turns, and a softness enters the cyclone like a seed. It informs the friends that they have translated the wind into small coins and spent it on vanity. They are told to ask the man of sores to pray for them because he, who answered nothing, has understood the size of the question. Job, who has no coin left, pays with his breath. The breath spreads and calms the local brain. A heron steps into the margin and writes a narrow letter with its ankle. The whale sounds the water closes as if nothing immense had ever used it for a door. The hook is left hanging from a sky that does not care for iron. Job climbs back to the heap that knew him. He sits and the shards around him shine without judgment. The friends hand him their last jars and he fills them with a silence that is finally not a wound. The silence matures. It oils everything that once caught. In the morning, a caravan assembles from nowhere. Sisters he had forgotten arrive with bracelets, brothers too, each carrying a small share of unaccountable blessing. The animals return, now numerous beyond arithmetic. The bookkeepers lay out their stones and try to count, and the stones slide back into the sand to cool. Now that he owns again, Job understands that ownership is only a way of measuring the time between breaths. He accepts this without pride. At evening, he walks to the brine plain where the moon rehearses its descent. The sea behaves as if innocent. He kneels and presses his ear to the wet. Beneath the skin he hears a machinery slow and tender. It is not the churn of teeth, not the clack of armor, not even the bellows of an enormous heart. It is the sound of patience learning to speak. He says amen to it, which is a small word that means I have heard something larger speak for me. The whirlwind breaks apart respectfully. It becomes a brain we can live under. The snow stays in its room until called. The constellations loosen like hair at night. The ostrich forgets beautifully. The horse discovers battles of grass and indulges them. Behemoth sleeps on its own back. As for Leviathan, it keeps the deep sweet by stirring it with disdain. From time to time it rises under a city and lifts it a little, and everyone believes they have been judged when in truth they have only been reminded that the floor moves. Job sleeps his dream as a ledger in which every debt is rewritten as a tide, and every tide is forgiven by the shore it scratches. When he wakes, the scar on the sand is a hymn. He reads it aloud to the morning and the syllables turn to birds. They rise toward a sky that remembers each feather because remembering is its nature. Somewhere far below, the great creature turns and offers its cold forehead to the Tree of Light, as if asking to be named again. The name arrives in the old accent that began the world. It is not Hook or Law or Prophet. It is simply breath.